Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, Becky Hillier has had a distinguished career in the news business. So, Becky, you know what I'm saying when we talk about it being a slow news day today. Not too much to talk about here on this Freedom Friday.
It doesn't look very slow, Aaron, when I look at all the papers you have lined up in front of you.
I just started organizing my stuff here because I was literally editing audio until I had 5 seconds to go my headset on an hour ago. And yeah, because there's just so much. I mean, from the news out of Iran, where Israel struck back at their nuclear, weapons facilities, and then took out their top terrorist leaders in the IGRC, and then we had that senator in California trying to bum rush the cabinet secretary,
right?
And then fighting with law enforcement, and then just all sorts of big news across the board. So we'll jump back into all that stuff here in the next half hour of the program, and then of course George is with us in the 8 o'clock hour too. But you know, you were just showing me some video. We were just joking off air. I never like to refer to Billings, Montana, as a city. Yes. I don't want to call Butte a city. I don't want to call Missoula a city. They're all towns.
They're towns.
You know,
right.
Like, so I never want to say, well, Billings is Montana's largest city. No, Billings is Montana's largest town.
Right. And we like it that way.
Yeah, that's right. But this really is a big moment for Billings. You were showing me video of the grandstands. You asked me, you said, have you driven by the Metro lately?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I haven't. The grandstands are going up right now.
They are. And that's the thing. So far, Aaron, you know, we have been watching the progress every day because where they're building the new outdoor arena is just steps away from the Nile office. So we've been watching the progress every day. And it's been slow and it's, you know, this, that. But it's all been on the ground or below the ground. There really hasn't been anything vertical yet that people could actually physically see when they drive by. But I'm telling you, in 48 hours, it's like that bleacher structure just sprung out of nowhere. And that is the first vertical progress that people can actually see when they drive by the Metro. So if you look behind the Expo Center, you will see the structure for the bleachers for the new outdoor arena just right there in your face. And so that makes it a lot more real for people.
And the reason why this is exciting news is because, you know, those old grandstands were really cool. I remember going to the Indian Relay, and those grandstands was an incredible moment. And so when those grandstands got torn down for safety reasons and things like that, there were a lot of people that were mad because they were worried that the grandstands would never be built ever again. So here they are. They're coming back up right now.
They are coming back, and they're going to be different. Of course, they're not going to be like what the historic grandstands were. But the nice thing is that now we once again have a viable additional option for outdoor entertainment in Billings, and that is good. Anytime you can give a town, a growing town or city, like Billy's options for entertainment, it's a really good thing. And so they're different, but it's modern, it's safe, and we can expand upon that over the years. We can add seating. Right now it will seat 3,400 people in the bleachers, but in the future, if they wanted to expand it, it could seat up to 8,000 people. That is a big venue for Billings, Montana, for all sorts of outdoor
entertainment. And that's good. What's good for Rodeo Billings is good for Rodeo Darby. It's good
Absolutely.
For Rodeo Three Forks. It's good for Rodeo Baker. It's good for Rodeo across the board,
yep.
Because it's yet another major venue to get to make some cash at and compete at. All right, more with Becky Hillier coming up right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, a slight chance for an isolated shower storm ending early on, then becoming partly sunny. A chance for some more late-day scattered storms developing. Some of those late-day storms possibly strong to severe. We'll have high temperatures in the lower 80s for Bozeman, mid-80s for Billings. For tonight, still a chance for some scattered strong storms, especially in the evening. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz. It was a television stunt by Democratic Senator Alex Padilla crashing a news conference by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, shouting out questions
all to create a viral moment. But what happened next, television is going haywire over this. It's replaying the footage as often as the Zapruder film because federal agents dragged him out of there, roughed him up, got him down on the ground, attempted to handcuff him, all while he's identifying himself as a United States senator. The Democrats are going crazy about this, demanding an investigation. Republicans are mostly remaining silent. Christine Ohm telling Fox News that he was shouting and he shouldn't have done that and should be happy to talk to him and all of that. But it is a viral moment, not in the way that Homeland Security necessarily intended it. And this story is only going to get bigger. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to it here with Becky Hillier. And, of course, we always want to look at the bright side here on Freedom Friday. And Becky Hillier always has a great story to share with us. So, Becky, we had so much fun last Friday. You know, you're with the Nile Rodeo, Rodeo Billings. And of course, David Allen is the new, is it GM, CEO, whatever.
GM,
the
yeah.
top dog, whatever
grand,
the title.
I call him the Grand Poobah.
The Grand Poobah. I like yes. that, yeah. we had a fun chat with him last Friday talking about, you know, Rodeo Billings and outdoor rodeo and then the new Dale Earnhardt documentary right. that he has featured prominently in. I still need to go watch that. And so that was a great conversation during our statewide 9 o'clock hour last Friday, if anybody missed it. But, yeah, to this point about what is good for Rodeo Billings is good for rodeo all across Montana because it's another place to compete. It's another place to earn some prize money, another place to show off your stock and everything like that. But you know, on that point, that's what David Allen talked about last Friday was he said, hey, look, you know, now we're doing it in the same weekend that Baker, Montana, yep. is doing their rodeo. And so you've got two places for these cowboys to compete at. You know, mm-hmm. they can do Baker and Billings sometimes in the same day, certainly in the same weekend. And so to me, that goes back to this whole point of that when we talk about how the excitement of the grandstands being coming back up right now as we speak and bringing back outdoor rodeo in the largest town in Montana, it's good for Baker. It's good for all mm-hmm. these other towns across the state.
It is, and it really is good for entertainment as a whole for our community because the options for outdoor entertainment and acts or different competitions you can hold in that arena really are endless. And so, you know, we'll be able to expose people in Billings to different competitions or different levels of entertainment that they haven't been exposed to before. And the rodeo, you know, having Rodeo Billings be the first major event in that outdoor arena, I think really makes a statement that we're going big. You go big or go home. Well, we're not going to go home just yet. We're just going to go really big. And having Baker that same weekend, Baker, for being such a small town, they have an amazing rodeo. And it is highly regarded. I can tell you that from working at the PRCA. People at the PRCA look at Baker as an awesome rodeo. The cowboys love going there. They give away a lot of money. 12-5 for the winner of each event, except Saddle Bronc this year in Baker. The winner will get $25,000.
Wow.
$25,000 for Saddle Bronc. And then, because their times, competition times in Baker offset ours here in Billings, the guys can leave Baker, jet up here to Billings, you know, just down the interstate, compete at Rodeo Billings, and we have $15,000 available for rough stock. So if the guy who wins Saddle Bronc in Baker wins it here, that's $40,000 he wins between those two rodeos.
One day.
That is big money for rodeo because, you know, these guys, you look at professional athletes in football, in basketball, and they have a guaranteed contract, whether they play or not, whether they do well or not, they have guaranteed money. Our cowboys are not guaranteed anything. If they come to a rodeo and they don't place high enough to get a paycheck, well, shoot. then they might be in a little bit of a deficit driving down the road trying to fill up that big rig again.
I was going to say, that pro football player doesn't have to haul a horse in a trailer all the way across the country either and fuel up for gas and feed and water and everything else, care for the animal, all that.
Exactly. Yeah. The timed event guys really have a lot of expenses because they do have to take their horses with them. And so this... being able to offer a bigger purse size, more money for them, it makes them more successful. It gets them so much closer to qualifying for the NFR because you have to be in the top 15 of each event. You have to be one of the top 15 money earners in each event to qualify for the NFR. And the reason you want to go to the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, is that is a potential six-figure payday. In 10 days, a guy or a gal can go there and potentially win more money in 10 days than they won the entire rodeo season. So they're all running and gunning, especially in August and September. In the last 6 weeks, like Rodeo Billings falls 6 weeks before the end of the pro rodeo season. And so they're going to come here, and that $15,000 in rough stock, $7,500 in timed events will make the difference for some of those guys and girls who are qualifying for the NFR. It will catapult them into the top 15. That's very exciting to have Rodeo Billings and Billings be a major player. And have the road to the NFR run right through Billings again this year.
Yeah.
Because we're once again a player leading up to the end of the pro rodeo season.
Yeah, and then, you know, back to Baker, Montana, I think they've hosted the high school rodeo finals for a high school rodeo. And by the way, if you love rodeo and you want to support high school rodeo, the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame banquet is coming up in late September as well, which is not too far away. So I'd encourage folks, get a hold of them, get a hold of like Scott Miller, Brent Jordan, anybody of the crew there with the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame banquet. I got to go to it last year, and Bill Pullman, the Hollywood actor who lives in Whitehall, he was there getting like an award, and of course so many incredible contractors and folks all the way from Eureka. So this is like a Eureka to Ekalaka type of a program here, because they recognize folks in the industry or just supporters of the industry across the board. So a really cool event, and I'm looking forward to being there myself as well this fall.
Well, and what is so cool about that is, you know, as time goes on and Billings embraces more of an urban outlook for the future, and we're becoming more of a modern town, modern city, it's really nice to have a spectacle like Rodeo Billings, because then that keeps us grounded firmly in the roots of our Western heritage, and it helps us still embrace our Western culture. And you can have both. You can have the Western culture and identify with that and be really proud of where we came from and look forward to the future and say, okay, I've got one foot in the past because I'm a Montana girl, born and raised, proud of my Western heritage, but I really like the apartments that are going up too. I really like how progressive the city is being. So we can have the best of the both worlds.
Texas and Colorado, like, okay, my opinion here, we don't want to go down the path of Colorado where you abandon and spit on your roots and throw the wolves at the people, et cetera. But look at Texas, where Texas has grown, major cities, major, you know, even SpaceX moving there too. But yet, the Western lifestyle and rodeo and
they're still rooted in that Western culture.
Yeah, it's a big part of
even
the big cities in Texas. Yeah.
This is House Call for Health. Even if you're not losing weight, eating a healthy diet can still have huge impacts on your heart health. Researchers looked at data from nearly 800 obese people in Israel assigned to stick with healthy diets for somewhere between 18 and 24 months. Almost one-third of those involved in the study did not lose any weight, but good news, those who were resistant to weight loss still showed similar health improvements compared to those who shed some pounds. Researchers found an increase of good HDL cholesterol, less belly fat that puts pressure on internal organs, and smaller levels of the hunger hormone leptin. The lead researcher of the study says the findings can reframe how experts address weight loss. They found 12 instances of how someone's genetics can strongly forecast their ability to lose weight. That study was published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is the Montana Economic Minute. In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work. Those who use the social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, you may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 27-28 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Wesley Plant.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA raised its 2024 through 2025 U.S. wheat export estimates to 820 million bushels. That's up from 800 million in May in its latest World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates report. For 2025 through 26, beginning stocks of wheat remain unchanged at 840 million bushels. Production and yield projections also held steady at 1.9 billion bushels and 51.6 bushels per acre for U.S. farmers. Indian stocks were lowered to 890 million bushels of wheat. That's down from 923 million. As for the farm gate price for producers, it rose by a dime to $5.40. Globally, wheat production was slightly increased to 808.59 million metric tons. As for corn, the WASDE report put USDA's cut of old crop ending stock estimate at 50 million bushels, lowering the 2025 through 26 new crop ending stocks to 1.75 billion bushels. The new crop is projected at 15.82 billion bushels with a yield of 181 bushels per acre. As for the projected farm gate price for U.S. corn, it's currently sitting at $4.20 a bushel. Exports of that crop are also projected at 2.67 billion bushels of corn. I'm Lane Nordland.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
Yeah, great to have Becky Hillier here in the house. And you never really know what we're going to talk about. Becky, you had something hilarious on Facebook the other day. And I was so busy trying to get on top of the rest of the news that I didn't do a Facebook recon yet.
Was it the pole dancer?
Yes, the pole dancer one. Yeah, it was this stick figure cartoon image. And it had a bunch of little stick figures holding up dollar bills. And then the stick figure lady in the middle holding on to a pole. So, tell us about that one. That was the one. Yeah.
So anyway, this was a child's drawing, and it said, "I want to be like mommy." And so, like Aaron described, the stick figure woman holding on to what looked like a pole, stick figure people holding up dollar bills. And so the mom wrote a note to accompany this picture and said, "I feel the need to explain." The mom, even though it looked like a pole dancer, she was a pole dancer in the drawing that the daughter made. The mom worked at Home Depot. There was a big snowstorm. Everybody wanted snow shovels. And her daughter drew this picture of her, a representation of her selling the very last snow shovel in Home Depot, and everybody wanted it. And were holding up their dollar bills to buy it.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
It just cracks me up every time I see it. A little bit of misinterpretation going on. Needed a little bit of explanation, but it is funny when you see it. We probably didn't describe it real well, but when you see it, it is hysterical.
So I just pulled this up. This was from 5 days ago. So the mom apparently had to send a note to the teacher after the "I want to be like mommy" cartoon was written. And she says, "Dear Mrs. Jones, I wish to clarify that I am not now, nor have I ever been, an exotic dancer. I work at Home Depot, and I told my daughter how hectic it was last week before the blizzard hit. Her picture doesn't show me dancing around a pole. It's supposed to depict me selling the last snow shovel we had at Home Depot." I don't know. I think that sounds like a politician making up a story now, you know.
It does. You know, maybe she should run for Congress. You know, she might have a future.
You know, some of these public schools anymore, they might have mom come in and put on a performance, you know, for the woke celebration of the week or something, you know. Just never know anymore.
Nothing would surprise us at this point, right? I don't think anything could surprise us.
Yeah. It was fun talking with you off air, though, about just some of the ideas as the momentum builds for outdoor rodeo in Billings here later this summer. So, probably can't mention some of the ideas here on the radio.
But I don't know what the Metro is going to come up with, but I know they are great at zeroing in on opportunities, and I know they're going to do right by the community and the entertainment acts that they're going to put in that new outdoor arena. And I need to say, Aaron, and I was going to mention it before, but I wasn't sure, but you are being honored at the Montana Hall and Wall of Fame, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So I got a phone call and they said, hey, Aaron, we want to give you an award at this Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame banquet. And I'm like, all right, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? I feel like I'm the least deserving person of some sort of an award at a pro rodeo hall and wall of fame. But no, this is, my wife Jessica would tell you, this is the most exciting thing. I'm so excited for that.
It's awesome.
For that banquet. So, they were telling me that this year they're coming up with, it's going to be the first year ever they're giving out a great Western media award. So it's crazy. Yeah. So apparently I'm the first one to get this award, but to me, it's such an honor and it's so humbling because, you know, I think about being a little kid in Glasgow, Montana. We lived in town, you know, my cousins were the cool ranch kids. My friends were the cool ranch kids.
Yeah,
but our family had such, you know, my mom was a waitress at the Cottonwood Inn and then a manager there. And my grandparents ran the Glasgow Courier, the newspaper, and our family had such respect for the men and women in agriculture because we knew that none of these communities would be here without those farmers and ranchers.
They absolutely fuel the economy of the community.
And rodeo is this symbol of the greatness of American agriculture. And so what's so humbling about this is it's like, wow, to be recognized by those salt of the earth people, some of the best of the best, and for them to recognize, like, because really what do we try to do with a show like this? I feel like every day we come here, we are fighting not just for Montana, we are fighting for our Western way of life, we are fighting for Western culture, for the Western economy, and that's everything. It's agriculture, it's rodeo, it's oil, it's gas, it's coal, it's timber, it's access to get out there on our so-called public lands. It's fishing, it's hunting, it's supporting our troops. It's all the freaking above to fight for our Western way of life. And so that's why it's just so humbling to be like, wow, to be recognized by the most salt of the earth people in the rodeo community is like, my goodness.
No, you should absolutely be proud of that. I'm proud of you because you do a good job. You pour your heart and soul into everything that you do, and you do stand up to try to preserve Montana's identity and keep that Western culture and heritage alive. And I really appreciate that. And coming from a small town as well, you and I have so many similarities in our backgrounds, but that is something you should be proud of, because living in those small towns, that's where you see the Western way of life on full display.
I do think I will go walk around, though. Did I tell you I'm a Hall of Famer?
I'll do it for you. You don't have to do it.
Good, here with Becky Hillier, and then we're going to open up the phone lines for you. If you want to call in now, get in the queue. We're going to get into all the big news of the day here from the terrorists in Tehran to the crazy guy in California and much more. Becky, what's your bright side story? I haven't even gotten to that one yet here. What's your bright side story of the week?
Going off on all these tangents, but it's been awesome. Well, so I'll make this quick, but I was reading this story about a guy named Mike, and he had this constant companion, a Mastiff mix named Minnie, and they were just constant companions, best friends. Well, Mike was diagnosed with intestinal cancer and was going through all of these treatments, and he got to the point where he couldn't take care of Minnie anymore, and he was told that he was terminal. You know, he wasn't going to make it. So he made the very hard decision to surrender Minnie to the animal shelter in his community. And it was a decision that he grappled with, but he knew it was what was best for Minnie because he just couldn't take care of her. So he just kept obsessively checking the shelter's website every day, and he kept seeing Minnie's picture pop up that she hadn't been adopted. Then one day he logged on, and her picture was gone, so she had been adopted. And that's when it hit him, like, to his core. He was never going to see his beloved dog again, and he had a really tough time. Well, he went through his treatments and had just this amazing twist of fate where he went into remission, and he was no longer terminal, beat the cancer. The first thing he thought of course, was Minnie. And he didn't know what he was going to do about it. He knew she was adopted. She had a better life. One day, he got on the animal shelter website. Her picture popped up again. She had been taken back, returned to the animal shelter, no fault of her own. There were some other things going on. But he saw her picture, and he got in his car, went right down to the shelter, and they had this beautiful reunion. And it shows the video of Minnie just being overjoyed and beside herself seeing him. He's crying. Everybody in the room who witnessed this reunion, not a dry eye. They were all crying, so emotional. And I thought, you know, that just goes, we do hard things sometimes. We have to do hard things. Giving up Minnie was the hardest thing he probably ever had to do, in addition to facing death. But then this twist of fate turns around, and it's like a God wink. He goes back onto the website. He sees Minnie's picture pop up, and they're reunited. They Wow. were meant to be together. And so it's like,
that's incredible.
In the depths of our darkness and our despair, a lot of times we just get these messages from above that everything is okay and things will be made right and put back together.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
now he and Minnie are together.
And I'm sure everybody has a few examples they could think of too.
Absolutely.
That also reminds me of, remember when they would show these troops coming home videos and the dog sees them coming home for the first time, the dog jumping everywhere,
so
licking them. And then you had the troops that would also post the videos joking around like, here's my cat welcoming me home. And the cat could care less and just walks off. It's like, whatever, man. Yeah.
You expect that from your cat, but not a dog. Yes.
I also think it would be fun because we adopted our dog from the shelter.
Uh-huh.
I want to get the backstory because our dog is so crazy, especially when treats are out, that I think we rescued her from a meth house, I think, because she is nuts sometimes when she sees food. So wouldn't it be cool to have the backstory of
your shelter
dog? Yeah. Becky, thanks.
Ring America.
The key to the future of America's defense may not be on the ground, on the sea, or in the air, but in outer space. During a recent House Armed Services Subcommittee hearing, Space Force Chief of Operations, General Chance Saltzman, said that
never before in our history has space been more critical to the future of our nation.
General Saltzman testifying that space, via satellites, provides military needs ranging from GPS to communications to weapons targeting.
It is imperative that we match the dramatic rise in threats and increasing importance of space with resources to arm the Space Force effectively.
He adds that thus far, the Space Force has been a relative bargain.
At a cost of only about 3% of the larger DoD budget and with less than 1% of the personnel.
But says the bottom line is,
we must be able to control the space domain, protecting our capabilities in space while denying an adversary the ability to use space against us.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Everyone.
Montana Talks, uniting the treasure state, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, so much to talk about here on this Freedom Friday. We've got the phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app. So many different topics to get to. Where should we go next? If you guys missed the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we touched on the big news out of Iran, Israel launching a preemptive strike to prevent the terrorists in Tehran from gaining access to nuclear weapons and apparently taking out all of the senior leaders and the senior terrorists in the IGRC. So that's the big massive news that developed overnight. And earlier this week, we told you how, the United States military was already offering to get families and military dependents out of the Middle East if they wanted to get out of the Middle East. So that was kind of the first indication that something may be happening. President Trump has been trying to to do peace talks with both Israel and Iran. And as Jesse Waters pointed out last night, they basically gave the middle finger to President Trump. But anyway, it just sounded like Tehran was so dangerously close to getting access to nuclear missiles that our friends in Israel had to do something. But yeah, in the 6 o'clock hour, I also joked, David Noble had a great post on X where he says, man, I'm surprised Aaron hasn't called me to guest host the show, given all the big news going, because it seems like every time I take a day off, there's all these major news stories in the news. And I said, well, David, you can drop in anytime. And he's not with us on the phone lines. David, thanks for calling in.
That is so funny about the breaking news. Every time you take a day off and it's something like this, I just wanted to call in and go on the record and say I am so proud to stand with President Trump and everybody else that 100% supports Israel, fully supports Israel. Israel is doing the world a favor by taking out these terrorists in Tehran. And I listened to Bibi Netanyahu's full speech last night. It's about 8 minutes. The media was only playing clips of it, a minute or 2 minutes of it. If you listen to Bibi's full speech, it was clear. This is about freeing the Iranian people from this terrorist regime once and for all. And I just am so proud, and I'm so glad that we've got political leaders in Montana that fully support Israel. And everybody out there saying, oh, well, we don't want the U.S. to get involved. And that's just a ridiculous proposition, because guess what? Iran is basically defeated. They did not shoot down a single Israeli jet. They did not stop a single Israeli missile. They have not responded once. They are on their heels. Israel has been kicking their butt for years. Hamas, Hezbollah have been decimated by Israel. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And thank you to President Trump. And what's been great is that President Trump has been actively working with Israel to run a public deception campaign to trick everybody about the timing of this. And I'm so glad that we have a president that stands behind Israel and that participated in this and has shown the world that we will not stand for people that want to build nuclear weapons and put them on ballistic missiles and send them out. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, thanks, David. No, that was great. Thanks for the call. Yeah, great to hear from you. In response to the news last night, I saw some reactions from some of our congressional delegation here as well. Senator Tim Sheehy, Navy SEAL veteran, said this about 14 hours ago. Israeli aircraft are striking Iran in what appears to be an effort to halt their nuclear program. God be with them. That was Senator Sheehy. Meanwhile, Senator Steve Daines said this as today's IAEA resolution shows, Iran has been hiding its nuclear program for years. Israel has every right to defend itself against this malign threat, and tonight America stands with Israel, praying for the safety of all the U.S. personnel in the Middle East. Congressman Ryan Zinke, meanwhile, from the Western Congressional District, also a Navy SEAL veteran, said this, may God be with the people of Israel. Iran must abandon its nuclear program, which is rooted in destruction and death. I support President Trump's continued work to bring peace to the region. All right, phone lines are open for you as well. If you want to drop in on the show, 406-294-0970, and I need to go in and check our app messages here as well, see what you guys have to say. Meantime, let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Sean in Anaconda listening to 1370 KXTL. Sean, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Montana. Yeah, Aaron, your last segment you gave an analogy of the rodeo representing getting on public lands, and I fully believe we cannot sell any and all public lands to help support the big beautiful bill, and I just hope that our Montanans are aware of that. And that's all I had to say. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no, I appreciate it, Sean. Yeah, so yeah, what I would say is, so there was an effort to sell public lands, to sell federal lands in the One Big Beautiful Bill, in an initial draft in the U.S. House of Representatives. And then, of course, Montana's Congressman Ryan Zinke
big supporter of access to public lands, basically got that pulled. And Congressman Troy Downing also voted to get that pulled. So they got that pulled out of the one big beautiful bill. Sounds like there's another effort to try to include it's some federal land down in Utah and Nevada. It wouldn't be widespread across the country. It would be down in Utah and Nevada. But it sounds like there's an effort to put that back into the one big beautiful bill in the Senate package. But I think Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy have both spoken out against selling federal lands, so I think they will ensure that it is not included in the one big beautiful bill in the Senate either. Sean, I was going to see if you might want to stick with us here to chat back and forth a little bit. I think when it comes to land access right now, man, I tell you what, it's I think the reason why people are so passionate about this topic right now is, and even more so in the last 4 to 5 years, is because, case in point, so the other day I put a story on our Montana Talks website about a new film that's coming out soon. It's called The Real Yellowstone. Tom Opry is a filmmaker out of the Flathead Valley, great guy. His wife is one of the Dianas, as they're referred to it. Mrs. Opry is one of the just a handful of Dianas recognized by the Safari Club International as like a supreme huntress. So they're a big outdoor family, sportsmen and women, but they're also big supporters of American agriculture. And so they did this film about the real Yellowstone and the real battles facing Montana ranchers. So they went out and interviewed real Montana ranchers. And a big part of that story is the American Prairie Reserve and this far-left, foreign-financed outfit known as the APR, which has been coming into Montana trying to kick the ranchers off the land. And so a lot of the film is based off of that threat. So that's one threat that's out there. What's another threat that's out there? You know, wealthy out-of-state land buyers coming in, buying up an agricultural property, potentially taking it out of production, or you know, not having access for hunting. That's another threat that a lot of people see out there. And then what's another threat? You've got the environmental groups and the Democrats always trying to block access even to our so-called public lands. So I think whether you're a sportsman, a hunter, a hiker, a recreationalist, I think you're feeling this pinch from all sides. You know, you see you've got the AP, or let's just say you're a young ranch family that wants to start your own family ranch here in Montana. Like, say you're in the Lewistown area. We've heard from some of our friends in the Lewistown area. It's like, okay, well, we got a wealthy guy buys up this land so he can get the hunting property. And then you got the APR buying up this property. They're all jacking up the value of the real estate to where we can't expand our ranch or start a new ranch if that's what we want to do. And then you look at the Gallatin Valley. We had this conversation with Randy Newberg a while back. The far left city of Bozeman makes it so hard to build in the city of Bozeman, or you can't build up. So instead what happens? You build out. So now you take that agricultural land and you pull the agricultural land out of production because you can't build in the city. So now you're building further out of the city, right? And again, or you see you're losing hunting access, or you're losing farmland production. We're filling the squeeze there. So it's like whether it's these APR foreign financiers kicking you off the land, or, you know, somebody wealthy from out of the state buying up the land and driving up the price to where you can't get access to it, or whether it's the Democrats blocking you through their radical environmental initiatives from having access to the land. There is a multitude of threats that I think we all see out there for just us everyday Montanans. And so, and Sean, yeah, I agree with you. There was something you said about how this show and the rodeo and all of this stuff, it's about promoting and protecting our Western way of life and our Montana way of life and our Montana culture and our Western culture. Thanks for the call.
Fox News commentary.
Olympian Simone Biles apologized to Riley Gaines. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. 35 years on Wall Street taught me how to successfully invest in the stock market. In my four-part series, I'm going to teach you, too. Some of Fox Business's finest join me to help tell my story, impart crucial lessons from my Unstoppable Prosperity book, and to give you the tools to achieve your own financial dreams.
Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Well, this feud could possibly end on a high note after all. Olympic gymnast Simone Biles did the right thing and publicly apologized to Riley Gaines for body shaming her, and even someone acknowledged that the current system of biological men competing in women's sports doesn't adequately balance competitive equity. Biles did stop short of defending the integrity of women's sports and spaces, which is regrettable. However, the public apology and accountability was a refreshing change of pace. For her part, Gaines accepted the apology and warmly invited Biles to join the fight to protect women's sports. Look, it would have been great to see Biles commit to the fight for fairness and use her incredible platform to advance it, but I'm happy to see the feud end. Biles is no doubt a role model for girls and young women, so I was taken aback at her initial behavior and especially her body shaming. It takes a lot of courage, though, to publicly own and say sorry, so for that, I'll give her credit. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We'll break down everything happening with the big, beautiful bill. We will give you also the latest on the increasing tensions rising with Iran. What do we think is going to happen there? We will break all that down for you and more. Plus, you never know, surprise guests, because we're in D.C. So you should definitely show up, hang out with us. Friday edition, Clay and Buck.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, a slight chance for an isolated shower storm ending early on, then becoming partly sunny. A chance for some more late-day scattered storms developing. Some of those late-day storms, possibly strong to severe. We'll have high temperatures in the lower 80s for Bozeman, mid-80s for Billings. For tonight, still a chance for some scattered strong storms, especially in the evening. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, you guys have got to watch this trailer for The Real Yellowstone, a film that's coming out soon. It highlights the real ranchers of Montana and the battles they face to hold on to their land. Tom Opry is an outdoor filmmaker based in Montana's Flathead Valley. You got to check out this trailer. I think they're going to have a big premiere coming up in Bozeman very soon. Featured front and center is this battle with the APR to kick
RBAMontana.com now. That's RBAMontana.com to book your free estimate. On Salvo Entry Doors, the wait is over.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was going to ask David, but when he called in earlier, you know, yesterday when David Noble was in the house with us, he was talking about, you know, how the Democrats are saying that, well, if you exercise, if you go to the gym, and if you eat healthy, you're a right-wing Republican. You're probably a white supremacist. And it's like, what a bunch of nut jobs. Like, the Democrats literally, they want you to do everything that's unhealthy for you. It's crazy. I don't know if David saw this or if you guys saw this. The Daily Caller has this headline. Democrats brutally roasted for rolling out morbidly obese woman to defend food stamps. Everybody who saw this, so Democrat Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, why does Minnesota have some of the worst representatives in the entire country? I guess all the smart Scandinavians kept moving west towards Montana. But Democrat Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar shared a video of this woman, and everybody's like, why would you do that to that woman? It's just like, it was so mean that Klobuchar shared this video of this woman. Anyway, then, of course, everybody was kind of jumping on with some mean remarks. But here's the point. Democrats are claiming that while the Republicans are cutting food stamps and they're cutting SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. No, what Republicans are doing is saying, why are we using taxpayer dollars to fund junk food for needy people? If we want to help needy people, why aren't we helping needy people? Why are we giving them junk food, sugar and candy and highly loaded with sugar soda, or pop? I call it pop. Some of you call it soda, right?
It's like the Democrats literally want people to be unhealthy, and the Democrats are kicking and screaming if people are not able to get taxpayer-subsidized unhealthy food. And they rolled out a video of a woman who's... To defend why they think people should get taxpayer-subsidized junk food. It was just like, what are you guys thinking here? Well, I'll tell you what, man. You know what? If you actually want to help people, help yourself, you can do what I did. I went to BillingsLastDiet.com, and I popped in, and I did their seminar, and that was almost 8 years ago now. Lost 33 pounds in under 3 months. And here's the thing. It's because everything they're telling you and they're trying to shove down your throat through these SNAP programs or anything else is bad for you. It's not good for you. So if you want to find out how to lose the weight, how to keep it off, and how to have a healthier lifestyle, I'm telling you what, get a hold of our friends at Billings Last Diet, 294-6751, or go to BillingsLastDiet.com. Tim and Savage, you know, he lost 100 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. He also sent me a great message on the Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. I was going to save this one for the 8 o'clock hour when our friend George Blackard is in the house. But Tim and Savage, he sent us a message. He says this. Let's see. Where is it at here? Oh, there's a few good messages in here. He says, have you seen what the Florida governor and the Broward County sheriff are saying about the protests this weekend? Tim and Savage says, it is full on F-A-F-O. Which is, you know, mess around and find out. F around and find out. I don't know if this is the sheriff he's referring to, but Fox News Radio. Oh, no, this is the Brevard County, Florida Sheriff Wayne Ivey. Here is his message to those protesters ahead of these so-called No Kings protests that are even planned here in Montana for tomorrow.
If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at, because we will kill you graveyard dead.
Hey, he's exactly right. Deadly force should be authorized if they are, throwing who knows what kind of projectiles at our law enforcement officers. One of our listeners in Billings, I think he's a Marine Corps veteran. He goes by the name Crayon Eater. He says, I didn't even get a chance to take down my L.A. riots decorations to celebrate bomb Iran decor. So, yeah, he had to change out his decorations. Bruce and Ennis says, open up the Homestead Act again so young, low-income people can have a shot to live without a mortgage and rent. So, thanks, Bruce.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work. Those who use the social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, we may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 27-28 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.